Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, November 28th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
It is all about the Federal Reserve as we await remarks from Jerome Powell.
Meanwhile, President Trump offers his toughest criticism yet of the Fed chairman.
And Steven Mnuchin explores ways to tighten policy without angering the president.
Republicans have another Senate victory after a runoff election in Mississippi. Plus, President Trump is said to feel no urgency to choose a new attorney general. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The next three-game winning streak came to an end in Detroit. Easy win for St. John's, who remains undefeated.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And global stocks are posting modest gains ahead of today's speech from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 87. NASDAQ futures up 28. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. CAC in Paris up 0.4%. FTSE 100 little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32, yield 3.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 5 cents to $51.61 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 40 cents to $12.19.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1293. The yen, 113.76. Nathan.
Karen, it's all about the Federal Reserve today as we await those remarks from Chairman Jerome Powell. In comments yesterday, Vice Chairman Richard Clarida backed more gradual rate increases. Chicago Fed President Charles Evans echoed that sentiment, while Kansas City Fed Chief Esther George expressed some concerns.
Farm incomes have been quite depressed as commodity prices have fallen. And on top of that, more recently, some of the trade issues with China, which will not help at all.
And Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic noted pockets of distress in his district.
All that Fed speak, yet the yield on 10-year treasuries has barely budged in the past 24 hours. And now we hear from Chairman Powell. Bloomberg's Chris Condon reports.
The text of the speech is expected to be on regulatory matters, but there'll be an audience Q&A, and that audience is really full of some heavy-hitting economists, so there are going to be some good questions. I'm sure he'll try to draw him out on the path of policy.
Powell speaks at the Economic Club of New York around noon Wall Street time. We'll bring you his remarks live on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
As we await that, President Trump is levying even more criticism at Chairman Powell. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Renewing a string of attacks, it began not long after he appointed Jerome Powell to lead the central bank. The president told the Washington Post he's not even a little bit happy with his selection. The Post reports he complained at length about Powell in the interview, saying Fed policies are responsible for recent stock market slides and for a plant closure and layoff announcement this week from General Motors. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bob, thank you. Now, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is looking for ways the Fed might tighten policy without raising rates. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning, Karen. The idea is to allow the Fed to do its job without getting President Trump angry. Bloomberg News has learned Mnuchin privately asked bond dealers and investors whether they want the Fed to tighten by raising rates or through faster cuts in its securities portfolio. Mnuchin posed the question at an October 30th meeting with a Treasury Advisory Committee. Those members include executives from Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. Pairing the portfolio puts upward pressure on long-term interest rates by adding to the supply of bonds that investors must absorb, effectively tightening financial conditions. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Meanwhile, the Fed begins publishing a semiannual report on financial stability conditions starting today. Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports.
The Fed joins the Bank of England and other central banks in reporting on potential risks to the financial system. The new report will look at asset valuations, household and business borrowing, leverage, and funding risks. Fed policymakers have said recently the financial system is much stronger than before the Great Recession, but caution is still required. In New York, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Bank of England also releases its financial stability report today. And as Bloomberg's Paul Gordon tells us, the central bank also weighs in on Brexit.
Brexit has always been a political minefield for the Bank of England. Now we'll get some hard numbers, so we should hope for some clarity when the Bank of England says this is what we think the Brexit withdrawal agreement will have on house prices, on bank capital, and so on and so on.
That report from the BOE is due out around 11:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
Now, when it comes to the U.S.-China trade dispute, President Trump is optimistic about his upcoming meeting with Xi Jinping. That's according to National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow.
In his view, there's a good possibility that a deal can be made.
And that optimism helped boost stocks in Asia today for the third straight session. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The CSI 300 gained 1.3%, but volatility was absent across Chinese assets, the yuan the least volatile since December. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index gained thanks to a rise in tech players like Tencent and Sunny Optical, while the Japanese yen held near a two-week low, boosting the Nikkei 225 by 1% in Tokyo to close at 22,177 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. On the corporate front, Ford Motor is trying to accelerate plans to build luxury cars in China to avoid President Trump's tariffs. Ford had planned to start production of Lincoln models in China late next year. Now it's working to move up that timeline.
Bloomberg News has learned Deutsche Bank's considering a senior management shakeup. Bloomberg's Danny Berger has details.
Deutsche Bank considering replacing senior executives who take care of their relationship with regulators. Deutsche Bank has come under a lot of heat. There's the investor fears that they're being drawn into the money laundering scandal at Danske Bank. So these are very key positions at Deutsche Bank, and ones investors will be watching closely to see who fills them.
Deutsche Bank's trying to reassure regulators it can improve compliance after several failures to head off misconduct.
And Microsoft has surpassed Apple to become the world's most valuable publicly traded company. The iPhone maker has lost more than $300 billion in market cap since its October high. S&P futures are up 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 88. NASDAQ futures up 30. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 now on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Cindy Hyde-Smith won Mississippi's Senate runoff election. The Republicans' campaign was marred by several controversies, including a comment about public hangings. Hyde-Smith thanked President Trump for his support.
Tupelo was unbelievable. The coast was unbelievable. We got to ride together, and I sure appreciated the time that he gave me. Senator Lindsey, Vice President Mike Pence, my guys, they turned out for me. My colleagues have supported me. Right now, Mr. President, thank you so much for all of your help.
Hyde-Smith beat challenger Democrat Mike Espy 53.9% to 46.1%. Espy called his campaign historic.
Do you know that we built the largest grassroots organization our state has ever seen in a generation? We did that through a coalition of voters, white and black, who shared our belief that Mississippi's future will be brighter than Mississippi's past.
The win allows Hyde-Smith to complete the final 2 years of the retired Senator Thad Cochran's 6-year term. President Trump is said to feel no urgency to nominate a new attorney general and is content with acting AG Matthew Whitaker. According to people familiar with his deliberations, no clear frontrunner has emerged. A Kremlin spokesman says Russian President Vladimir Putin expects to still meet with President Trump at the G20 summit in Buenos Aires. President Trump has threatened to cancel the Putin meeting after Russia captured 3 Ukrainian naval vessels in the Black Sea. Bloomberg's Tony Halpin in Moscow has more on the Ukrainian sailors.
A Russian court on Tuesday ordered Ukrainian sailors to be detained for 2 months after their ships were captured in clashes with border forces. The decision threatens to prolong the crisis over control of the Kerch Strait near Crimea, as European Union governments consider fresh sanctions against Russia in response to Sunday's incident. Ukraine is demanding that Russia return the 23 sailors and 3 ships that it captured. In Moscow, Tony Halpin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A broad coalition of organized labor, environmental advocates, business groups, and private companies is launching a new lobbying effort to introduce congestion tolls in Manhattan. The Fix Our Transit Coalition was created to push state lawmakers to approve the tolls, which would be levied on vehicles entering the busiest parts of Manhattan as a way to raise money for New York's deteriorating transit system. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Knicks were 4-14 when, surprisingly, they suddenly struck for three consecutive victories. The streak ended last night in Detroit. Knicks shot just 40%, lost to the Pistons 115-108. Blake Griffin with 30 points. Rookie Alonzo Trier led the Knicks with 24 off the bench. Tim Hardaway added 19.
I think we missed a lot of easy lands, a lot of easy floaters that we normally make, threes that we normally take go in. Just wasn't falling today. Credit them, you know, them pushing the pace and into the free throw line and making it a bully-type, physical-type game.
Knicks are in Philadelphia tonight. LeBron James and the Lakers last night lost in Denver by 32. NHL Buffalo beat San Jose. The Sabres, the NHL's worst team last season. So far this year, the best team. Sabres have won 10 games in a row. College hoops, St. John's 6-0. Red Storm, no problem with Maryland Eastern Shore. 85-64. Iona lost by 23 at Ohio U. Fairleigh Dickinson fell by 10 at Providence. Stony Brook went to 6-1, beating Norfolk State. College football playoff rankings start again with the three undefeated teams, Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame. With Michigan's loss, Georgia moves up to fourth, but to make the playoffs, Georgia will have to upset Alabama on Saturday. Just a few days ago, Reuben Foster was arrested for domestic violence at the 49ers team hotel in Tampa. Niners promptly released the linebacker they had taken in the first round last year. Not the first time he had faced an accusation of domestic violence. So it surprised many. The Redskins yesterday claimed Foster off waivers, although the NFL quickly placed him on the commissioner's exempt list, which allows him to get paid but prevents Foster from being on the field. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. In other sports news, Major League Baseball has named its first official gambling partner MGM Resorts International. Feels similar to ones the casino company inked with the NBA and NHL, getting the right to use baseball's logo and trademarks in states that have legalized sports gambling. This is Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate, up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. Jerome Powell's under fire again. President Trump tells the Washington Post he's not even a little bit happy with the Fed chairman. Meanwhile, Powell is unlikely to go off message when he speaks at the Economic Club of New York today. Still, investors will watch for references to headwinds, market volatility, and the neutral rate. U.S. fuel demand is offering a bright spot for the oil market. API data suggests American gasoline supplies slid by 2.6 million barrels last week. If confirmed by the EIA, that would be the third straight drop. And J.P. Morgan Asset Management's Global Income Fund is betting on junk to find shelter from the trade war. The $49 billion mutual fund slashed its equities exposure and bought high-yield debt before the October sell-off. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Erin, thank you. S&P futures up 7 points this morning. Dow futures up 77. NASDAQ futures up 25. The DAX in Germany is little changed, up less than a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 3.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil down about 0.2% or 9 cents to $51.46 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $12.1980 an ounce. The euro, $1.1287. The yen, 113.74. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Republican U.S. Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith is returning to Washington Hyde Smith won her Senate runoff against Democrat Mike Espy in Mississippi, 53.9% to 46.1%. She returns to serve out the remaining 2 years of a seat left empty by Thad Cochran's retirement. The runoff was marked by controversy. After she praised a supporter, she said, "If he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be on the front row." According to a report from the UN on climate change, if something isn't done in the near future to significantly cut greenhouse gas emissions, the world will face a worst-case scenario by the end of the century. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
And thank you, Michael. 6:20 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, as you know by now, the Fed Chairman Jerome Powell will address the Economic Club of New York at noon Wall Street time. Among those in attendance today, our own Bloomberg economist, Yelena Shalitova. He's going to walk right down the middle of the line, I suspect. What do you think?
Well, are we going to hear any groundbreaking news? Probably not. I think he's just going to continue to ponder the message, whether we should see a significant slowdown or not. Probably not, right? So he's going to say everything is fine the economy is doing just fine. So.
There'll be a prepared speech, and we'll get a copy of that. But there are questions. So what if you get a chance to ask him a question, what are you going to ask?
I would ask a couple of questions, and one of them would be, to what extent is he worried about market volatility, and at which point this market volatility will impact economic outlook? So that's question number one. And the other one I would ask about is business investment. Is he worried about a slowdown in business investment? Is he worried about that the economy's economic growth is concentrated in the consumer sector? What about other sectors of the economy, the interest rate sensitive ones, housing, business investment, auto industry? How much is he worried about that?
Well, let's get to that mandate with interest rates. Are we going to see any surprises in the new year on the inflation front?
I think inflation will pick up next year above the 2% target, and it will be very difficult for the Fed to navigate in such an environment when, you have very low unemployment rate and your inflation is above target. But the key challenge for the Fed is try to set the policy based on what's expected, on expected growth for the economy, rather than what has been reported. They need to switch from data dependency to sort of setting the policy based on a forecast, which will be very difficult for the Fed.
Are they moving away from forward guidance?
I don't think so. It's one of the tools, but currently it seems like they're trying to talk about data dependency, be very flexible, and not just put themselves into a corner, by saying, oh, we're going to do this and that. They just continue to just say we're data dependent.
Okay, Rich Clarin, the vice chair, he was talking yesterday. He sounded a little more dovish, was he?
The speech was really, if we do this, it's going to happen that, if we do this and that. So data dependency being very flexible. One of the most dovish comments was probably about the slack in the labor market and that we can pull more people from the sidelines. So that sounded a little bit more dovish, but overall it was very neutral, I think.
Steve Gallo was on earlier today on the program from BMO Capital, and he said the watchword in foreign exchange right now is pause for the Federal Reserve. Is there a difference between what the Fed is saying and what the market is expecting?
I think
there's a gap there.
I think it's widely expected that the Fed will pause at some point, and in our forecast, it's after the three hikes that we expect next year. So we expect a December 8 hike, and then for them to probably deliver three more hikes next year, and then pause and see what happens. Because, again, they will be in a very difficult situation.
Growth will be slowing down next year significantly from a sugar high consumer-driven growth this year. We expect 3.1%, and then we expect growth to slow down to 2.4% next year. So,
which still isn't bad.
Which still is above potential. So,
okay.
But still, it's a very significant slowdown. So it will be difficult very much to set policy for them.
5 seconds. Is Powell somebody who can be cowed into submission by his boss?
Absolutely not. He's a tough guy, and he'll just hold the line.
Elena Shiletova, Bloomberg economist. We appreciate it. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now up 6 points. The Dow futures up 69. NASDAQ futures up 23. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. It is 6:25 on Wall Street. A reminder, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell will speak to the Economic Club of New York around noon Wall Street time. Live coverage on Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher ahead of today's speech by Jerome Powell. The Fed chairman addresses the Economic Club of New York at noon Wall Street time. We'll bring you his remarks live on Bloomberg Radio and television.
Meanwhile, President Trump is renewing his attacks on Powell, telling the Washington Post he's not even a little bit happy with his choice to head the central bank.
And sources say Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin privately asked bond dealers and investors in October whether they want the Fed to tighten policy by raising rates or through faster cuts in its securities portfolio. That could theoretically let the central bank do its job without angering the president.
This morning, the government issues revised data on third quarter economic growth. As Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports, economists expect little change from the initial estimate.
America's economy posted the strongest back-to-back showing in 4 years, 3.5% GDP growth in the third quarter, 4.2% in the second. Consumer spending led the way in the government's initial tally for July, August, and September. Inventories increased, too. Also on today's economic calendar, October new home sales. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. The Bank of England publishes its latest analysis on Brexit at 11:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Lucy Meakin has details from our London bureau.
The central bank is expected to put numbers on various exit scenarios, including Theresa May's proposal and a no-deal divorce. The findings could add fuel to an already heated debate and will likely overshadow the release of the financial stability report and bank stress tests when Governor Mark Carney takes questions from the press. In London, Lucy Meakin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Lucy. Sources tell Bloomberg Deutsche Bank's considering a management shakeup over regulatory frustrations. Authorities have expressed dissatisfaction with Deutsche Bank's efforts to prevent financial crime.
And shares of Salesforce are up more than 8.5% in early trading. The cloud software company projecting sales for the current fiscal year that beat expectations. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 6 points. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is little change. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. The FTSE 100 is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2.30. Seconds yield 3.04%. The yield on the 2-year 2.82%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 7 cents to $51.49 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed, up 50 cents to $12.2040 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
And thanks, Karen. 6:33 now on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to tell us what else is going on in the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Republican Cindy Hyde-Smith has won the runoff Senate election in Mississippi, overcoming a controversy that involved her comment on public hangings. Hyde-Smith told supporters last night that she is humbled by the victory.
The reason we won is because Mississippians know me and they know my heart. And thank you for stepping up, Mississippi.
Hyde-Smith's win over Democrat Mike Espy gives the GOP 53 senators to the Democrats' 47. Hyde-Smith beat Espy 53.9% to 46.1%. President Trump feels no urgency to nominate a new attorney general and is content with Matthew Whitaker in place as acting head of the Justice Department. That's according to what people familiar with his deliberations told Bloomberg. Trump told the Washington Post that Whitaker is doing an excellent job. The Kremlin says Russian President Vladimir Putin still expects to meet with President Donald Trump at the G20 summit later this week. It comes after President Trump has threatened to cancel his meeting with Putin. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter tells us why.
The issue, of course, is the Russian seizure of the three Ukrainian vessels in the Black Sea. In Washington Post interview, the president says he's waiting for a full report before doing anything. Mr. Trump saying, maybe I won't have the meeting. I don't like that aggression. I don't want that aggression at all. The Trump-Putin meeting would be the first one since the summit in Helsinki in July and comes as well with complications with allegations that his campaign manager, Paul Manafort, met with WikiLeaks' Julian Assange before thousands of emails gathered by Russian spies were released. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The day of paying a congestion toll in Manhattan could be closer. A broad coalition of organized labor, environmental advocates, business groups, and private companies is launching a new lobbying effort for the tolls. The Fix Our Transit Coalition was created to push state lawmakers to approve the tolls, which would be levied on vehicles entering the busiest parts of Manhattan as a way to raise money for New York City's deteriorating subways and transit system. It is a sign of the season. Tonight, thousands will witness the lighting of the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center. The NYPD says heavy security will be in place tonight. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Mary, Mary, Michael, 6:35 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Nathan, cold shooting Knicks lost to Detroit, 115-108, ending their three-game winning streak, 40% shooting, and three Knick point guards, Emmanuel Mudiay, Trey Burke, and Frank Ntilikina, combined to go just 5-for-26. The one bright spot was rookie Alonzo Trier. He scored 24 for Coach David Fizdale.
Well, one thing I did with him tonight that I hadn't done a lot of is I played him at the point guard spot, and I really thought he handled that well, and then we actually went on a run late with him at that position, and so I was really happy with the way he competed.
Knicks in Philadelphia tonight. St. John's 6-0, first time since 2009, 85-64 over Maryland Eastern Shore. L.J. Figueroa, 25 points, 13 rebounds. Half dozen games in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. The two leagues split the six games at 5 of the 6, decided by less than 5 points. The one easy win was Duke by 21 over Indiana. Star freshman Zion Williamson, 25 points. College football's regular season ends Saturday, and then we'll find out which four teams are headed for the playoff. The committee's top four right now are Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Georgia. Oklahoma's then fifth, Ohio State sixth. Bama and Georgia face off on Saturday. If the Bulldogs, as expected, lose, the fourth spot should come down to the Sooners or Buckeyes if they both win their conference championship game. 49ers just released linebacker Reuben Foster, their top draft pick in 2017. He had just been arrested at the team hotel in Tampa for domestic violence after an earlier suspension for a different accusation. And a surprise, the Washington Redskins claimed Foster off waivers, but the NFL quickly put Foster on the commissioner's exempt list, which prohibits him from playing. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshauer. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
The construction of Nord Stream 2, a pipeline for delivering natural gas from Russia to Germany, could hardly have come at a worse time. The U.S. and Europe are already feuding over trade, defense spending, and Iran. Now, American opposition to the pipeline sets the scene for another falling out. To be clear, the U.S. is right to object to the pipeline, a project conceived to serve Russia's geopolitical goals. But imposing sanctions on EU companies involved in the project, as the U.S. Congress has threatened, would further weaken a fraying alliance. The Trump administration should focus on convincing Europeans that Nord Stream 2 is a mistake, and it should promote alternatives to Russian gas, including increased LNG imports from the U.S. Opponents of the pipeline are right, but the situation calls for persuasion, not punishment. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report with Bob Moon.
It's not exactly being called fake news by the White House, but Press Secretary Sarah Sanders did come close when she dismissed an alarming climate change report released by the Trump administration.
We think that this is the most extreme version, and it's not based on facts.
The report, written by more than 300 authors and more than a dozen federal agencies, warns that climate change threatens economic disaster. What's truth and what's fake? Sanders insists the president is leading the globe in cleaning up air and water. The day before, the president himself said he didn't believe the report, and a frustrated Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon suggested, if you don't believe it, try looking out the window.
We see the effects right now with the greater forest fires, the acidification of the Pacific Ocean affecting our oysters, the pine beetles are rampaging, and the answer is a complete conversion to renewable energy.
Merkley says the real truth is renewable energy is now cheaper than fossil fuel-generated coal plant energy. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
And on the heels of the Trump administration climate report, a bipartisan group of lawmakers on Capitol Hill is planning to introduce a climate bill this week. It'd be the first in a decade. Nancy Lyons has details on this from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
This bill is not expected to get very far, but it does start the debate. It would apply a $15 per metric ton carbon fee to the oil, gas, and coal industries, which would then be returned to customers.
It forces oil refiners, importers, coal to find quick emissions reductions, increased efficiencies, because they are paying the fee up front.
Bloomberg Environment's Dean Scott.
The big difference here is bipartisan support and a relatively low starting point for a carbon tax.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, thank you, Nancy. Ahead of the open on Wall Street, green on the screen with S&P futures up 7 points or nearly 0.3%. Dow futures 0.3% higher by 79 points. NASDAQ futures ahead by 26 points. That is a gain of 0.4% on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Opinion was brought to you by Benzel Bush Motor Car Corporation in beautiful Englewood, New Jersey. A true luxury experience, Benzel Bush is where luxury lives. Experience the elevated standard you deserve. Visit BenzelBush.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A new report just out from the UK government says Britain would suffer a major economic hit if Parliament rejects Theresa May's Brexit deal. The official analysis says if the UK crashes out of the EU with no trade deal, GDP will be as much as 10.7% lower in 15 years. The analysis paints a dire picture of the worst-case scenario, but does not provide any details on the economic impact of the deal. We're also watching shares of Tiffany this morning. They are up 1%. This after third-quarter profit met analyst estimates, while comp sales missed, coming in up 3%. Analysts looking for a gain of 5.6%. Now let's go over the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are trading higher right now with Dow futures up 95 points. S&P's climb 9 and NASDAQ futures rise by 30. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.05%. Oil is trading lower and the Nikkei rose 1% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, trade balance, GDP, and personal consumption. And at 10 o'clock, new home sales and the Richmond Fed. After the bell last night, Salesforce raised its full-year guidance. Shares are up 9% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, like you said, Tiffany EPS was in line. And look for Dick's Sporting to report around 7:30. In other news, Fed's Powell speaks at the Economic Club of New York at 12 o'clock. And wrapping things up, United Technologies was upgraded to hold over at DZ Bank. Eaton Vance downgraded to underweight at J.P. Morgan. And Skyworks upgraded to equal weight at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Alert Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Republican Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith won re-election yesterday in a Mississippi runoff that should have been a cakewalk, but turned unexpectedly competitive after a late-stage controversy. Hyde-Smith's victory secures the party's 53rd Senate seat for the next 2 years. She beat Democrat Mike Espy 53.9% to 46.1%. A Chinese researcher who claims to have helped make the world's first genetically edited babies says a second pregnancy may be underway. The researcher He Jiankui revealed the possible pregnancy today while making his first public comments about his controversial work at an international conference in Hong Kong. Mainstream scientists have condemned the experiment. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's almost 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check now on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include House Democrats meeting behind closed doors today, where they are likely to nominate Nancy Pelosi to be the next speaker. The Federal Reserve releases its first financial stability report as we await comments from Chairman Jerome Powell in New York at noon Wall Street time. President Trump has lunch today with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo before taking part in the national Christmas tree lighting tonight. Also making news this morning, the president's wide-ranging interview with the Washington Post, in which he railed against the Fed, the Mueller investigation, even Russian President Vladimir Putin. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me now with more on that. No shortage of grievances from the president to the Post, Kate.
Yeah, this was sort of a who's who of Trump people on Trump's list of people that he likes to criticize. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, it's a lot of folks that we've seen him criticize before and a lot of grievances that he's aired in the past. But he certainly kind of re-aired them all in this interview with the Post yesterday.
No, it was interesting to see the president airing grievances against Russian President Vladimir Putin, saying he might call off his meeting with the Russian leader at the G20 over the tensions with Ukraine. It's not a line we're used to hearing from the president.
Yeah, that's the most significant thing that I think came out of those, out of his remarks to the Post. And I think that it's interesting in the context of how the first couple days after the Sunday incident played out, where really initially Trump and the whole administration sort of left it to Nikki Haley, the outgoing UN ambassador, to really make a response that in the end was quite muted. It seemed to be a bit of a change of course to then hear Trump come out and speak so strongly about potentially canceling his meeting at the G20 with Putin over this issue. So I think it'll be like anything with Trump. I think we have to kind of wait and see what actually materializes. He sort of says things and then sometimes doesn't necessarily follow through, but other times he does. So I think it'll be important to kind of see where that goes in the next couple days.
Yeah, and speaking of says things, we do hear him say a lot that he's not happy with Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. And this is probably about the strongest rhetoric we've heard from the president as regards his Fed chairman as Powell gets ready to speak. Is this likely to turn into anything policy-wise?
Well, I think it's really significant that, you know, Trump broke with tradition earlier this year in terms of being very publicly critical of the Fed and sort of weighing in on what the Fed should do on interest rates. There's sort of been this Chinese wall traditionally between the president and what the Fed does as a ways to sort of maintain the Fed's independence. And so I think that, you know, Trump changed that very dramatically a few months ago. And now I think this is significant, though, in that we're hearing him come out with his, as you say, his strongest rhetoric yet right ahead of when Powell is going to be making some potential policy proclamations. And so I think that we haven't quite seen this before to this extent where he's been so strong and so direct. And it certainly looks like an attempt to influence policy, whether or not it actually is.
All right. We're in the heart of the lame duck session here, but I guess it's never too soon to think about 2020. And an interesting story on the Bloomberg terminal this morning about the Senate sort of being a strong breeding ground for potential presidential contenders in 2020.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to 2008 when, you know, we had ended up having Barack Obama and John McCain, both senators at the time, and then Joe Biden as the VP nominee. So this certainly isn't anything new to have the Senate be a breeding ground for presidential contenders. However, there's a pretty deep bench of folks this time around on the Democratic side that are looking to potentially challenge Trump or, you know, or at least they're being viewed as potential challengers to Trump, whether or not they're admitting they're considering runs at this point. And so I think that, you know, that will make watching the Senate very, very interesting. interesting over the next couple months to see how these folks position themselves, people like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren. It'll be interesting to see Kirsten Gillibrand, what kind of legislation they introduce, what kind of positions they take, because really a lot of what they're going to be doing is going to be with an eye towards testing the waters for 2020.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to watch not just the legislative activity that comes from those Democrats, but whether the Democratic Party itself signals a focus of direction in terms of how they think they would be best positioned to take on the president in 2 years.
Yeah, I think that will be interesting. And then also to see how these candidates fit themselves into that rubric, kind of vis-a-vis what the broader party strategy is. And we may be getting, a better sense of that today when we see who Democrats nominate for their leadership positions in the House. We expect to see Nancy Pelosi renominated because no one's come out to really challenge her publicly. But I think it'll be interesting to see how that all kind of fits together. And we'll get a better sense in the next couple of days of how that might look.
Yeah, certainly will. Thanks, as always, Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder that you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Never a dull moment inside the Beltway. Tune in to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Having trouble finding your favorite TV programs lately? You may have to get used to that. Channel blackouts spiked in the U.S. last year and are probably only going to get worse. There's also increasing confusion over which of the many new streaming services carry certain movies and TV shows. Now that just about every media giant has introduced their own version of Netflix, some are beginning to restrict their content from rival products. Disney is yanking its material from Netflix to put in a new Disney streaming app. Meanwhile, HBO went dark for Dish and Sling TV subscribers. That's as AT&T, HBO's new parent company, gears up to introduce a new product of its own, anchored by the Game of Thrones network. All of this makes it difficult to compare pay TV and streaming packages. The industry has a long way to go to truly improve consumer choice. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Karen. Operating a restaurant is no easy business. Sam Abbas knows that firsthand. He's developed several restaurant brands, including Broom Modern Eatery, with two locations in Detroit, offering organic and grass-fed beef burgers and creative shakes and flavors like cornflake and salted caramel. His management tip and key to keeping his sanity: having people that he can depend on.
I operate pretty well remotely. We have a really strong management team that we've put together, so I definitely rely on them for a lot of things.
After a 10-week intensive business training course as part of Goldman Sachs' 10,000 Small Business Program, he's picked up more than just a few pointers.
The most helpful part of it that I found to be is definitely negotiations. I often find myself negotiating my own leases with various landlords and developers, so it's been really helpful over the years.
And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Cornflake milkshakes, that's right up your alley, Karen.
They sound crunchy. All right. Thank you, John Tucker. Watching shares of Burlington Stores this morning. They're up 8.4%. It just reported earnings moments ago. It reported third quarter profit that beat analysts' estimates, also boosted its full year sales forecast. We're also watching Tiffany. Those shares are up 1%. Its third quarter profit met analysts' estimates, while total comp sales missed. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.